him in the temple, talking with the elders, who marveled at his wisdom. All together now, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Seek him at the Jordan,
amen.
And John's baptizing,
amen.
Saving all the sinners,
amen. Amen.
Seek him at the seaside, talking with the fishermen,
amen.
And making them disciples,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Sing it louder now, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Marching through Jerusalem,
amen.
Over palm branches, praying to his Father,
amen.
In deepest sorrow, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let the trumpet play.
Oh,
knows the power of God. There's glory all around, and those who see my stand in awe, for miracles abound. Thank you.
this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout.
Oh,
Thank you, choir from the First Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi. The 117th session in the 129th year of the Southern Baptist Convention is now in order. The music for the program is under the general direction of William J. Reynolds, the Sunday School Board in Nashville, and Bill will lead us in the congregational hymn at this time.
Will you stand and join with us in singing four stanzas of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Let Angels Prostrate Fall.
Be seated. It's a joy to present one of our foreign missionary families, the Perry Ellises. The father is director of mass evangelism for the Brazilian Baptist Convention. The mother is missionary, homemaker. The children include a lovely daughter, Autumn, and two handsome sons, Richard and Johnson. And now we shall listen to a beautiful family singing beautiful music. Perry?
Thank you, Doc.
You don't have to go far to find someone in need. You don't have to go far to sow the gospel seed. You don't have to go far, just start right where you are. You don't have to go far to tell the story.
Jesus said, begin in your Jerusalem, for that is where the people need to be reborn. And then we're told Samaria's not far away. Through his love and mercy, give them life today.
You don't have to go far to find someone in need. You don't have to go far to sow the gospel seed. You don't have to go far, just start right where you are. You don't have to go far to tell the story.
When you have told your friends and neighbors all around about the peace of mind and joy that you have found, then to a dying world reach out a hand of love. For that is why the Lord came down from heaven above.
You don't have to go far to find someone in need. You don't have to go far to sow the gospel seed. You don't have to go far, just start right where you are. You don't have to go far to tell the story. You don't have to go far, you don't have to go far. You don't have to go far to tell the story.
When Adoniram Judson had to leave Burma because of his illness, his last statement in Burma was a statement that I believe paraphrases the spirit of every servant of Christ here today. This is what he said.
When in sorrow, loss, or pain, Jesus cares for me. Jesus cares, that's all I need until His face I see. So in tears on barren plain, so with tears in Jesus' name, reap with joy a heart unclaimed. Praise God. In spite of sorrow, loss, or pain, my course be onward still. We sow on Burma's barren plain, we reap on Zion's hill. Praise God, praise God. We reap on Zion's hill.
Jesus cares, that's all I need. He my soul desires. He is Rock of Ages, Comforter, and Morning Star. He's my fortress in distress. Place your trust in Him and rest. Jesus cares, that's all I need. Praise God.
In spite of sorrow, loss, or pain, my course be onward still. We sow on Burma's barren plain, we reap on Zion's hill. Praise God, praise God. We reap on Zion's hill.
Theme interpretation this morning, Share His Love Now by Teaching the Bible, will be presented by Carl Bates, former president of this convention. Dr. Bates.
Thank you, Brother Chairman. The conditions under which we meet here this year are very little different than those which have prevailed in other times when the Southern Baptist Convention has gathered for fellowship, for consideration, for rededication, for reports from the field concerning the ministry God has given us to do through the various agencies He has also given us. There's every likelihood that as we gather here today, we will hear some of the same characterizations made of the times in which we live. Somebody's almost sure to remind us that the hurricane winds of change are blowing, and that there is social injustice, and that there is moral decay, and that we live in a time such as has never pressed itself upon the witness of the people of God. And then the question will come, if we think about why we are here, what is our strategy? What can an individual Christian do about it? And what are the churches to do? Somewhere along the way, one of the committees that we've asked to deny itself of fellowship in these meetings is called the Resolutions Committee. And they'll spend all of their time meeting during these days in rephrasing resolutions that are brought here, some in some sense, calculated in the minds of those who present them, to solve our problems and to focus attention upon the strategy that really ought to characterize us. But I'm personally grateful to God for the theme chosen by the Committee on Order of Business this year. For it goes to the very heart of any strategy that one finds revealed in the New Testament concerning the people of God. What must the churches do? Share His love now. And it's now that it needs to be shared. And there are many ways in which we can do that. I think it's not beside the point to remind you here that an untaught church can promote just as vigorously and as enthusiastically as it's capable of doing a false Christianity if it is an untaught church. And one of the things that would call us back in this moment to the major task and to be dead center in strategy is wrapped up in the theme that will characterize all of these meetings. And of course, my particular phase of the theme is teaching the Word of God. I think there's more concern about this now than I have ever known in my experience as a member of one of the cooperating churches in this convention. Pastors are concerned about this, but they find themselves preoccupied with tasks that the people of God in the churches ought to be engaged in if they somehow understood that God has given every body of believers, every local fellowship of believers, the gifts needed, if they are exercised, to fulfill the calling that rests upon the people of God. And one of the remedies for this is to teach them to understand, if I understand the New Testament in any sense, one of the major responsibilities of the early apostles was to teach the new converts and to help them understand that when the Son of God ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto the church. And this is clearly spelled out in the letters of the New Testament. And one of the responsibilities of the apostles were to help the people understand their gifts as members of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is completely furnished unto every good work. And if everybody did his job, the pastor would not be so overburdened in doing performing tasks that really are not his by calling and placing in the divine strategy of God. Of course, this works both ways. Sometimes a church has a pastor that is so interested in getting it all done himself until he can't let anybody else do it. And therefore, no matter how gifted the congregation may be, it couldn't engage in the divine strategy. I think it goes without saying that teaching them is a part of the divine strategy in this hour. It always has been the strategy
of the Lord, the risen, reigning, ruling Lord for his people in the earth. One of the last commissions related to the strategy for the church was this, teaching them to observe all things. Everything that I've commanded you has to be taught. And the church in our time, to say the least, to some great extent, is untaught. We are ignorant concerning the warfare that is raging. And we sometimes make fun of those who call us back to facing up to the fact that we are not engaged in a conflict with flesh and blood that can pin our shoulders to the floor in one simple engagement, but this is a face-to-face conflict with a strategy of evil to the very end. And if you'll read Paul's description of this in the Ephesian letter, you find that they are ruled over by five-star generals. This strategy of evil, and all the way down the line. And Paul said to the early church, we're not ignorant of his strategies. We're engaged in a hand-to-hand conflict with evil forces that have set themselves to destroy everyone involved in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ and everybody who has any influence to exercise in this time outside the body of Christ, to destroy him as well. What shall we do about it? I have a recollection of a pastor of one of the stronger churches wringing his hands and raising the question, saying, I don't know what to do about it. The Pentecostalists have invaded my church, and it looks like they're going to destroy the fellowship of the church. The answer to that pastor and to every other pastor is to teach the Bible, pastor. And with this all-consuming, cancer-like interest in the occult in our time, the same answer comes, teach the Word of God. And if attendance is lagging, people want to hear the Scriptures expounded. If baptisms are down, this is the remedy. And if the offerings are down, it also helps to have the authority of the Word of God expounded in the pulpit, where God has called you as the bishop of souls and will hold you accountable for the teaching of his word. If it's important to teach God's people, it is just as important to teach a lost world. And I need not remind you of that well-known passage in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, so often quoted by those of us who try to witness in the name of Christ. For if your lips you acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord, and in your hearts you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the Scripture says no one who puts his faith in him will ever be put to shame. And now, if you're going to share his love, now you must know there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over them all, because he is infinitely kind to all that call upon him. For everyone now who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can people call upon one in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in one about whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach to them and teach them? And how can they go unless they are sent? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing from what is preached, that message once for all, that body of doctrine, that teaching once for all committed to the saints, and hearing through the message about Christ. So if there's no teaching, there is no...